This Fab FM podcast is proudly brought to you by Bendigo Bank, Port Douglas and Mosman, offering a full range of competitive banking products and technology you'd expect from a big bank with the personal service and care you'd expect from us. Drop into your nearest branch at Port Village Shopping Centre or Front Street Mosman. Bendigo Bank, the better big bank.
A big decision by council today concerning that block of land in the Daintree, you know, the one just up from the ferry. It was purchased without any public consultation for over $700,000 of ratepayers' money. The previous council purchased it shortly after the Qantas carbon credits fiasco. No public consultation there either. So the council, the present council, put it up for sale. Well, they got a bite, and a big bite, and an offer of the same amount of money that ratepayers laid out for it. Plus, the purchaser would pay all stamp duty and associated costs. Mayor Michael Kerr says that's a win-win situation.
It was a very contentious issue, and over the election that was very much made so that people weren't happy with the purchase. They think that there was other things that the money could be used for. And so when the option has come up that this group wanted to purchase the land and still go ahead with all the environmental aspects that council was originally looking at, I believe it was a win-win situation. The environment's still going to be protected in that pristine region. The ratepayers get their money back in full. And we can move on and start doing our public consultation now to find out exactly what our position is as far as carbon mitigation and sustainability according to the ratepayers, not according to internal consultation, which all the documents have been written in.
Now going to be looked after and owned by the Queensland Trust for Nature and Wildlife Rescue. The vote, by the way, went 3-2-2. Councillor Scomazon, Councillor McEwen and yourself voted for it. Councillor Zamataro and Noli both spoke against it. Councillor Noli said, look, she even quoted news releases from the old council and the former mayor, but you reminded them that this land purchase had absolutely no public consultation, and that basically is old history. We're now moving forward.
Exactly, and it's something that, you know, really stood out to me after this all occurred when I went through and looked at the different policies that council's got. If you look at our sustainability policy, our sustainability strategy, our environmental policies, every single one of them was internal consultation. There was no external consultation done. So there isn't a true picture of what the ratepayers want in this hemisphere strategy type thing. So I think it's really important that, and this is possibly why there was such a big controversy over this block of land, because it's not something that the ratepayers have been taken on a journey with. So again, by doing our public consultation later this year for environmental concerns as far as carbon mitigation goes, we'll get a true picture of what the community wants and how much they want. You know, they could be happy for us to do small amounts here and there. You know, for me personally, I believe council should be an educator and a stimulator of doing these things, not so much as a doer. You know, we should be encouraging the people about what environmental things are good for them and actually saves them money, you know, and makes life easier for them. And they're the things we should be pushing across rather than using the ratepayer money to go out purchasing carbon credits and all these things at this stage.
Now, you at the time did vote for that block of land. Did you have something else in mind at that time, and what's changed for you?
Well, absolutely. When the land purchase went through, I saw it as an asset purchase. It's taking money out of a bank account, putting it into a piece of land. If your kids go out, they buy a block of land, you don't say, oh, that was a waste of money, because it's not an expense. It's a purchase of an asset. So the ratepayers weren't losing money by purchasing the block of land. The expense to me was what they're going to do with it later on. My thoughts were, well, you know, there could be possible uses for it. You know, we need to find somewhere to plant the oil palms, because, you know, those oil palms are going to die within the next 10, 15 years. We need to start growing them to replace them. You know, there's a possibility of having an education centre there and tourists pay to go in and, you know, plant trees and things like that were going through my head at the time. And that's why I agreed to the purchase at the time. But seeing the fallout after and seeing what the election brought up, it made it very clear to me that this wasn't the time for that just yet, and it's time to move forward.
And you're selling it to a corporation that's going to do very similar things than what the council had intended in the first place.
Absolutely. Themselves with Rainforest Rescue and Jabobina, you know, they've got very competent people that are used to doing this sort of work, and that's what they specialise in. You know, council needs to stick to being council and doing the council things. Let these guys who know how to do environmental works do the environmental works, and, you know, I'm sure they're going to do a great job of it.
Okay, so the block of land has been sold, and the money goes back into the coffers for council to do council stuff with.
Exactly. That'll go back into our bank account, and it'll be there for us to do things that ratepayers want us to do. That's where it should be.
Okay, a small one here. The Kimberley Rural Fire Service have a brand new fire engine. They needed a home for it, and that was a pretty simple one and unanimous.
Absolutely. It was a shed that was up in the Kimberley that wasn't being used, and they put a request through a little while ago for it to be transferred at the lease to themselves so they can store their new fire engine in it, and that's finally gone through for them. So then they have a home now for their fire engine, which I'm sure they'll be quite excited about.
There you go, guys. Unanimous vote for that one. You've got it. We move to the Daintree Water Bottling Facility. Now, this vote was deferred last time with some questions to be asked. The questions to be asked is, well, the bore water, how is it to be treated? Because you want to look at it in an environmental way. What was the packaging going to be?
Well, the owner came back to us and all the councillors received an email that showed the answers to those questions, which one was, until the process starts, he doesn't know exactly yet what he's going to do, what condition the water's going to be in. This is a development application. It's a material change of use for him to get the permission to do all these works on that block of land. And that's where the planning aspect comes of it. The operational side, well, that's a different matter and they'll be covered under different schemes. Like you've got the EPA, of course, will cover him. The health side of council will be looking at the monitoring the water supplies and things like that. So those things can be covered with that. As far as packaging goes, you know, it's not council's job to dictate to businesses what packaging they need to use. Of course, council would like to see them using the appropriate packaging products that break down and, of course, that are recyclable, etc. But it's not something, of course, we can dictate to them to do so. That, you know, it is in there that we want them to. He's come back to us saying currently it's 80% biodegradable, but he's actually looking at a product that's 100% biodegradable. If he can get it from America, he will. You know, so they're all things that'll be, we can follow on from later on. The most important part is that get him in there, get him started so he can start testing this water and making sure he can bottle it and sell it and it can go internationally as a Daintree product, which is very exciting.
Was there some discussion also with the councillors about how much amount will be bottled?
Well, at the end of the day, he's been restricted to 10,000 litres a day and that's much he can take from us.
But that's not counting the bore water.
That's not counting the bore water, of course. You know, so at this stage, they don't believe, you know, that's going to be an issue. They believe there's plenty of water underground. It's not southeast Queensland. It's, you know, there's plenty of water there, so they don't believe that'll be an issue. But he's still limited with the amount that a small factory like that can possibly take out, bottle out, and move out by the different restrictions that are on him. So, you know, if it does get to a point he wants to grow bigger, he's going to have to put another application in to become a much bigger bottling plant, which we can reassess that then at that stage. But at the moment, it's only a small product, and it's, you know, I believe it's going to be a very good one for the region.
I think too that you'll get a few news stories done on this as well, which will, you know, shine a spotlight on us.
Absolutely, I certainly think we will. You know, it being a product from the Daintree rainforest and being a biodegradable container that he wants to use, I believe it'll get some great marketing out of it.
Michael, thank you very much, and we'll talk to you maybe next week if there's something on the agenda.
Absolutely, I'm sure we'll talk about something. And don't forget, #DoItInDouglas.